I encourage you to take your Bibles and join me in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 this evening. We're continuing in our study, and Lord willing, we're going to finish up this chapter tonight as we consider keeping life as simple as possible. Keeping life as simple as possible. Isn't it interesting how easily and how quickly things get complicated? Wisdom steps up and says, let's keep things simple. The more things that you add to your life, the more things you have to take care of. It's just a simple addition principle. But wisdom helps you to understand, you know, we need to subtract that. And we need to be careful here because this is dominating your time and you need to be focusing on Christ here. It's easy to get subverted, to get twisted and changed and so forth with the addition of all kinds of things which the culture wants you to add to your life. And God wants us to act wisely in this world, and He wants us to live in such a way that pleases Him. And we looked at the first few verses last time, the first five verses, and I want to just quickly remind you about wisdom's influence and respect for authority. One of the ways in which you simplify your life is to obey those that are in authority over you. Now, there may come times whenever government may tell us to do things that are contrary to God's Word. At that moment, they've stepped outside of their authority. Now they're doing things that God has not authorized them to do. And so we may, at some point, have to stand up and say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. That's in violation of God's Word. But we have to be careful. Some people are very quick to jump on, though, I'm not going to do that. Government has no right to tell me to do that whenever it has to do with health and safety. Government does have a role to play in those things. And so we have to be careful in that regard and be wise in our relationship with government. And the chapter begins by the emphasizing of the power of wisdom. But as we've learned previously, wisdom does have its limitations this side of heaven. Here is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Did he make some poor choices? Most certainly did. He made some unwise choices. So having wisdom is no guarantee that you won't make unwise decisions. Wisdom is available. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and, what's the rest of the verse? Upbraideth not. In other words, he doesn't get on your case for asking for wisdom. But understand that there are limitations. They're just things we don't know. There are things at work. It doesn't mean that the righteous are always going to have it easy. It means that there's going to be difficulties and trials and problems and struggles in life and pressures, as we've talked about in recent messages on Wednesday night. That there are going to be those things. But we have a Lord who is with us during those things. That's the game changer. Amen? That's the game changer. We have the Lord that's with us. And so wisdom brightens one's countenance, we learned last week, and softens the sternness that oftentimes accompanies us when we're dealing with troubles and difficulties. You can look at some people and say, don't ask them how they're doing. Don't ask them how they're doing. They've got the weight of the world. Remember the old Charles Atlas pictures from the 40s and 50s? And they oftentimes had him pictured holding the world. And he was holding the world on his shoulders, and that was a picture of Charles Atlas. Well, let me tell you something. There are times it seems like that your knees are bending from the weight of all the things that we are enduring. But I want you to know that wisdom will lighten the load. It'll help you to avoid things you should avoid. It'll help you to do things you ought to do because of the wisdom that is available in God's Word. It advises obedience to the king's command out of respect for the oath to God. We have a responsibility to pray for those that are in leadership over us, and we are to obey unless, as we learn from the Scriptures, a government tells us to do something contrary to the Bible. But that doesn't mean there won't be consequences, Christian, for doing so. Do you understand that? There may be consequences that are involved with that. Rushing out of the king's presence or persisting in evil matters is unwise. Wisdom helps discern the right time and procedure for every matter, considering the burdens that we bear. And we learned that last time. And notice verse 5, "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." Time and judgment. Some things need to be allowed to go on for a little bit. Some want to just end everything quickly. They don't want to see that. Some things need to develop. You might be judging a situation wrong, and you need to let it develop and see whether it was wrong or not. Maybe you don't have all the information. Amen. Oh, me, I know everything. No, you don't. Nobody does. Who's the only one that knows everything? That's God. And so we have to sometimes be careful. Now, some things have to be dealt with quickly. If you've got a dangerous situation, you've got to get involved quickly and try to protect lives. That's obvious. But there are some situations that are not dangerous, and that may require some time to let something develop. Be careful not to jump off the cliff, you know, walk back from the cliff and say, "No, wait a minute, Lord, I need to know more before I deal with this situation. I may be misunderstanding things." It's always better to err on that side than to foolishly act and then have all the collateral damage. How many of you remember Abigail's husband in the Old Testament? I've been in that passage of Scripture, and what a picture is given to us there of this foolish man. What was his name? Anybody remember? Nabal. How would you like to have that name? He was a complete idiot. He did not know how to handle the things of life. And so, whenever David had escaped from Saul and arrived at that place, David, out of the kindness of his heart and his men, protected Nabal's family during a period of time and then asked for some food in exchange. And what did Nabal say? Absolutely not. How do I know you don't mean me evil and to come in here and try to take and destroy that which is mine? And David very quickly says, "I'm going to go mop up the ground with him." Everybody know what mop up the ground? That's a good Southern expression. That means to take care of business. And Abigail, Nabal's wife, shows up, and she has horses loaded with food. More than enough to take care of. And she said, "Please pay no attention to my husband. He is a foolish man. He's made foolish choices, but accept this gift here and please stay your hand of judgment against my family." You know what happened? David said, "I will not destroy. You've been very kind to us. We'll accept this gift. I will not destroy your family." Abigail goes back and explains to her husband what has just transpired, that she took food to them, and do you understand and know that David was going to come and kill you with his men? His heart failed him, the Bible says. It became a stone. And then a week or so later, he dies. He doesn't enjoy his properties anymore. He doesn't enjoy the wealth that he had. He doesn't enjoy the wisdom of a wise wife. He's dead. How unwise. He stands in Scripture as a man that just did not exercise wisdom in any decision of his life. And he paid for it with his life. He had a massive heart attack and died. Now, wisdom helps us discern the time and the procedure for every matter. There's lots of ways to destroy something or to deconstruct. Thankfully, the crews that have been working down there have been deconstructing our building carefully. They had a lot of work to do, tearing out all those walls. And I want to tell you something about the wood that's in that building. You can't drive a nail in it. It takes everything you can do to pull it apart, to pull a nail out of that wood. It is so hardened and is so dry that you can't do it. And so they've been working with that. They've been tearing out block walls, but they've had to do it carefully so they don't destroy the whole inside of the building. Now, some people are good destroyers. You could let a group of K-5ers in that building. They would get that interior cleaned out pretty quick. But who knows what damage is going to be done. There are some people that you just don't give a hammer to. Some people don't know how to use a hammer properly. How many of you know what smiley faces are on wood? Anybody know? How many of you like smiley faces on your cabinets in your kitchen? You know, when a cabinet crew comes in there, they're very careful. They have these nice little air guns that will fire the nail in, and it won't leave this big imprint. But back in the old days when carpenters were carpenters and they didn't have all those things, they would have these nail pins, these steel things that they would use on the top of one of those headless nails, and they would drive them in carefully so as not to put a smiley face on the wood. Because you see, smiley faces really don't cause smiley faces on the people that look at them. So they'd oftentimes have to pull that off, start again. So they were very careful in the installation so they wouldn't damage, because you can use a hammer incorrectly. The same thing is true, Christian, when it comes to the exercise of wisdom about the timing of a situation and about the action that should be taken. The judgment, that's the word that's used there. Discernment of the action that should be taken. A judge in his chambers weighs what he's supposed to do or she is supposed to do. And you pray that they've got wisdom in the making of their decisions. Not all judges have that ability. There are some that are very wise. You think about Solomon when he had to act as a judge when they brought that one baby that was left between those two women and both claimed to be the mother. And so very wisely he said, bring me a sword and I'll split the baby and give you both halves. He knew something. He knew the real mother would say, speak up and say, don't kill the child. Don't kill the baby. Give it to her. And he knew that that would be the real mother. And that's exactly what happened. Wisdom. Wisdom. He didn't go into a screaming fit. He didn't start hollering from the bench. He didn't start calling them idiots for bringing the case before him. He just very quietly said, bring me a sword. And through that wise action, the baby was spared. And the baby was returned to the right mother. Was there any damage done? Collateral damage? No. Well, one went away. She had lost her baby and had stolen the other one. So she got her justice, but the real mother got the right child. That's the beauty of wisdom. Do I hear an amen? That's the beauty of wisdom. It helps us to know the timing and the action to be taken. And I'm so thankful that when we stand in the presence of God in heaven, that we're going to have a righteous judge, amen? We're going to have a righteous judge. And he's going to judge those things which were done in the flesh, those things which were done through his spirit, and he is going to judge righteous judgment. And then that thousand-year reign upon the earth, as he sits in power and authority on that throne, he is going to rule with a rod of iron. In other words, he's going to have the authority, but he's going to exercise it with equity. He's going to exercise it with justice. And that's something that this world desperately needs today. But why will that be so? Because we'll have the wisest of the wise on the throne exercising that authority. So let's move on to the next section here as we consider this wisdom. And wisdom is limited because of life's uncertainties. There are many things that we just don't know. Let me read beginning at verse 6 through verse 11. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. There we have that same phrase again that's used in the previous verse. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him what it shall be? What's the one limitation that we have? What's going to happen tonight when we get home, if we get home? We just don't know the future. You say, well, I know. I'm having tuna fish sandwich tonight. Okay, well, I'm happy for you. But there may be some things that happen between here and there with your tuna fish sandwich. You might decide to do that, and then you find out the mayonnaise has gone bad. And you can't have your tuna fish unless you get in your car and go to Winn-Dixie. And then your whole evening is in fruit basket upset, right? Because you didn't have your mayonnaise. You don't know, and I don't know, what's going to happen in the next minute. The trump could sound any second. And you'd miss your tuna fish sandwich. I don't think anybody would say, "Dear Lord, I really had my heart on that tuna fish sandwich. Would you let me go back and have it?" No, I don't think so. You're going to be standing in the presence of the one who redeemed you, and you're going to be so excited to be there in his presence that tuna fish is not going to be on your mind. That could happen. Do I hear an amen? We don't know when the rapture is going to take place. Oh, how things happen in lives that change things. Dana had just gotten home from going shopping, and she was getting herself ready for an evening meal and getting herself ready for bed. She had her evening meal, and she was getting ready for bed, and she started feeling weak. And then she said, "I don't know what happened after that. My brother came over, was calling my name. I didn't know that until he came in there and woke her up. Something had happened that changed her life. And she was taken to the hospital over here and told she's going to have surgery, that she is septic. She didn't know that. She didn't understand that. That's how quickly time can change. So those uncertainties of life are out there. We just don't know. Wisdom's limited. Now, we can prepare wisely. We can make certain assumptions that you'll probably get to go home tonight and eat your tuna fish sandwich. How many of you are going to go home and eat tuna fish now? Since I met, thank you, Nathan. I appreciate that. We've got one tuna fish lover here. How many of you got pizza on your mind right now? I know all the boys here are thinking something here. I can see them looking at each other saying, "What are we having to eat tonight?" We all can plan. You can plan financially for your future. You can plan where you're going to go on vacation this summer, but you have to understand something. Something may change your plans. And you have to live with that understanding. Something can change your plans. So this is brought out in this verse and sets the tone for what he's going to share going forward. Verse 7, "For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is all vanity." There have been evil people that die, and it seems like they got away with what they had done in the ill treatment of others. I know, I'm sure that in your life you probably felt that way. They died and they never really paid for what they deserved. You don't know. You have no idea. Trust the justice of God. It's vanity for us to assume certain things to be true when we do not know. Be careful, Christian, in that regard. Let's go on. Verse 9, "All this I have seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own spirit. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Now let's go to the other side. The evil ones, the lawless ones. They do something, get away with it. They do something, get away with it. They do something, they get away with it. What does that do to them? They embolden their hearts to continue in their lawless ways. But then the judgment comes. Oh, it may not come in this world. Although there are many consequences that come because embedded in sin is the consequences of that sin. We know that God is so structured that. So there may be things you don't know happened in their heart and life. I saw a picture of someone who was a beauty queen in the 80s. And I recognized her. They showed her picture, and she looks nothing like she did in the 80s. Her life has been scarred heavily by sin, drug use, alcohol abuse, all the things. I mean, she looked nothing like that. And here she's in her body, she's shown that she has paid the price for those choices and decisions that they made. But that doesn't always happen. And we need to understand, trust God in the things I don't know. So, let's go on to the third area. And that is the enigma of righteousness and wickedness, verses 10 through 13. The enigma. The writer is reflecting on a troubling observation that we're going to see here. The wicked sometimes receive honorable treatment. Have we not seen that? The wicked receiving honorable treatment. Let's look at verses 12 and 13. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There's a troubling thing when you see the wicked get honored, and you say, well, how come they can get away with that, and I can't seem to get away with anything? Let me tell you something. Rejoice in this fact, that you have a God that doesn't let you get away with wrongdoing. When I was a kid, it seemed like I could never get away with doing anything. I saw this all through my years, where I would do something and I would think, I got away with this, and boom, it was just like a cannon going off, and I was there picking up the pieces. What just hit me? You got caught. You got caught. I'll never forget, my sister and my brother and I were playing out in the yard, and we had found an old U.S. Navy lock that had belonged to my grandfather. It had somehow got out in the garden, buried, and we were playing around, and we found it. And I went running up to show Mom what I had found in the garden. It said USN on it, old Navy lock. And so I decided, my sister said, can I see it? And so instead of walking over and handing it to her, I chunked it at her. And it hit her in the forehead, and blood started gushing out of her head, and I knew I'd killed her. I just knew I had killed her. She started screaming, I mean, bloody murder. Roger, being the good brother, runs in the house to get Mom. As he's running, he's saying these words, Todd did it, Todd did it, Todd threw the rock, he's killed Missy. And so he goes in there, Mom comes out, and I'm sitting over there pretending to be consoling my sister. Oh, I'm so sorry, Missy, I didn't mean to throw it. I did. I chunked it at her, all right? She's bleeding, and the next thing I know, I'm going to the bedroom for a come-to-Jesus meeting. And my mom told me, she was crying, and I was upset because my mom was crying. She said, why did you do that? Why didn't you just walk over and hand it to your sister? And I was asking myself the very same question. It was amazing. Mom's, she knew exactly what I was thinking. Why did I do that? It was because I was being my mean-spirited self. And my sister, for the next several weeks, walked around with these stitches that were in her head that she had to be taken to the doctor and get stitched up. And every time I saw that old Navy lock, which got thrown in the shed, every time I saw that, I didn't even want to look at it. I wanted to turn away from it because all those memories came rushing back of the foolishness of my action. Now, notice, please, that may seem that the evil are honored. They get these wonderful burials and everybody, these mausoleums and honors to them. You think about Vladimir Lenin, whose body lies in state in Red Square, Moscow. His body is so deteriorated now. They supposedly put him in a freezing unit type thing that can be seen. but his body has decayed and it looks absolutely awful. But people can still go in there and see his deceased body there. He has this massive mausoleum there in Red Square, and people file through there to see the great leader. He killed millions of people. And yet he's honored and lifted up as being a great leader. But I want to tell you something. As we learn here in this passage of Scripture, it shall not be well with them that fear not God. It will not be well with them. And that brings us to the last section here, verses 14 through 17. Unresolved paradoxes and God's work. Now, we consider things maybe to be unresolved. But know this, there's nothing unresolved with God. Do I hear an amen? Nothing's unresolved with God. Notice this, please. Verse 14, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this is also vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of the labor of the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night sleepeth, seeth sleep with his eyes. In other words, people are burning the candle on both ends. They don't sleep during the day, they don't sleep at night, they're just living their life. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. There are some things that just are unexplicable. There are things that we face in life, it just doesn't seem to be an answer to it. I know in the political realm, it doesn't seem to be an answer to any of the stuff that's going on. There's just complete chaos in the world today. But understand this, though I can't understand it, and though I have no answer for it other than the Lord Jesus Christ coming and establishing righteousness here upon the earth, God is going to resolve everything. And we're going to reach that conclusion when we get to the end of the book. What is the conclusion of the matter? Fear God and keep His commandments. I want to encourage you. Ecclesiastes 8 invites us to ponder life's challenges. Embrace wisdom and find contentment in the simple pleasures of existence. He mentions some of them: eating, drinking. Do you enjoy eating, Mr. O'Pager? Well, I'm glad to hear that. We were at La Hacienda last night. You seemed to really enjoy your meal. And well, I appreciate the meal that you gave us. He honored those that completed the reading of the Old Testament in his group. There were several people that were there, and we had an enjoyable time there as he shared some of the award winners. They wore their medallions this morning. So if you wondered what that was, and Fran's wearing hers tonight. But the simple pleasures, enjoying a meal with friends and fellow believers. That's a blessing. Eating, drinking, being merry. We were merry last night. Those are simple pleasures. Enjoy those. This teaches us, though, that complicating life with materialism, pleasure, entertainment without limits, I'm putting that caveat, without limits is a fool's errand. And God encourages us to enjoy this world, enjoy life, but there are certain limits to that. Wisdom teaches us that. And I hope and pray that we can simplify our lives as we shared last week. Eliminate those things which drag us down, that do not help us, that dominate our time but bring us very little as far as blessing into our lives. Shear those things off, peel them away, and focus on the things that benefit us spiritually and physically, morally, socially, that will help us to live the right kind of lives here upon this earth. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the encouragement in this passage. There are a lot of things we don't understand. Wisdom has its limits, but we're so thankful that we have the Lord Jesus Christ to lead us all the way. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to be in your word faithfully every day. so that we might learn that wisdom that you have for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.